When you start out to pray for the little Jason, I'm going to ask you to pray for him and Nikhil for their short trip to Nicaragua. They're leaving in the morning at like 4 a.m. or something.
Okay.
I did the same thing Sunday, man. I used to be the most stable one, and it's got the wobbles.
Yeah. All right. Well, bless you guys. Good to see you guys. Hope all is well, and you're encouraged. I was just laughing because this thing says Hercules on it up here. But I set my Bible on it, I thought it was going to break. We'll pray for the word, but we want to pray for our brother Jason and sister Nikhil. They leave early in the morning to Nicaragua again, I think, for about a week or so. So just want to lift them up to the Lord and clothe them in prayer. And so, Lord, we just ask, Lord, for your hand to be upon them. Lord, we thank you so much for them and what you've birthed in their hearts. And God, I just pray that you would fan that into flame afresh, Lord, over this next week. I do pray that they'd make an impact even more so in Nicaragua through this trip. But also pray that their hearts would be encouraged afresh, God, and what you've called them to, Lord. Even if things aren't answered, that they would just leave with a fresh faith and fresh encouragement, Lord, that you truly are with them in this, Lord. So we just lift them to you and pray for your spirit to go with them in power and minister to them afresh as well. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so anybody know what book we're in?
The Bible.
The Bible, that's a good one, yeah. Isaiah, right? Anybody know what chapter? 8, good, yeah. So that's where we'll be, Isaiah chapter 8. And I'm going to read the first couple verses, then we'll go back and look at just a few verses from 7 to kind of build in some context as to what actually is going on, because chapter 8 is really just a continuation of what the Lord's been speaking and ministering through chapter 7. So even though we looked at one last week, the other one this week, they're actually completely connected. So verse 1, moreover, the Lord said to me, take a large scroll and write on it with a man's pen concerning Mahar Shalhazbar. And I will take for myself faithful witnesses to record Uriah the priest and Zechariah the son of Jeberechiah. Then I went to the prophetess, and she conceived and bore a son. Then the Lord said to me, call his name Mahar Shalhazbah, for before the child shall have knowledge to cry, my father and my mother, the riches of Damascus and the spoil of Samaria will be taken away before the king of Assyria. And so opening up this chapter, the first word, moreover. So it's in addition to what we've seen in chapter 7. And just to go back real quick, verse 1 of chapter 7. This is just after Isaiah's had the vision of the Lord. The Lord's taken the coal and placed it on his mouth and called him to a ministry. And it says, now it came to pass in the days of Ahaz, the son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, the king of Judah, that Rezin, the king of Syria, and Pekah, the king of Israel, went up to Jerusalem to make war against it, but could not prevail against it. And it was told to the house of David, saying, Syria's forces are deployed in Ephraim. So his heart, and the heart of his people, Ahaz that is, and the heart of his people were moved as the trees of the woods are moved with the wind. Then the Lord said to Isaiah, go out now to meet Ahaz, you and Shear-Jashub, your son. Which is interesting, his name means the remnant shall return, Isaiah's first son. And the Lord is even speaking to the house of Judah through the names of these sons that Isaiah has. And the first one, the translation of his name, is that a remnant shall return, which is very important. So go out with your son at the end of the aqueduct from the upper pool on the highway to the fuller's field, and say to him, take heed and be quiet, do not fear or be faint-hearted, for these two stubs of smoking firebrands, for the fierce anger of Rezin in Syria and the son of Remaliah. Because Syria and Ephraim and the son of Remaliah have plotted evil against you. Don't be troubled by these things, but not to fear, but to trust in the Lord. And we'll kind of leave it there. But really quick, what's going on is you have Remaliah, his son, is now king over Israel. And they've actually locked arms with the king of Syria, and this civil war has begun to take place in the nation of Israel, God's people, between the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom. And so the northern kingdom of Israel is actually coming to attack them. And Ahaz, largely in part of due to his unbelief, is very troubled by this. And so are many of the people of Judah. And so that's what you have happening in this time, is this civil war and the pressure that Judah feels, the people of Judah, from this time of trouble. And so the Lord says to Isaiah, this son, back in chapter 8, call his name Mahar Shelahazbah, which the meaning for that actually means swift is the booty, speedy is the prey. And so what the Lord is sharing with Isaiah is that this son, before he's even old enough to cry out, my father and my mother, the riches of Damascus and the spoil of Samaria, who are the two people aligned against the people of Judah that are coming against them to attack them. So before this son can even say, my father, my mother, they will be ruined. They will be destroyed. They will be taken out. And I will use the king of Assyria, the people of Assyria, to do it. Now, verse 5. The Lord also spoke to me again, saying, inasmuch as these people refused the waters of Shiloah that flow softly, and rejoice in Rezin and in Remaliah's son, now therefore, behold, the Lord brings up over them the waters of the river, strong and mighty, the king of Assyria and all his glory. He will go up over all his channels and go over all his banks. And so it gets kind of tricky in here at spots, because the Lord's speaking of how Assyria will destroy the northern kingdom of Israel, but will preserve Judah. And then you have where it says, inasmuch as these people refuse the waters of Shiloah that flow softly. See, the Lord here is actually speaking of the people of Judah, not the northern kingdom of Israel that God was ultimately going to judge through the Assyrians. Does that make sense? Kind of with me? Try and stay with me. Why? How do we know that? Well, if you look at Shiloah, it's a spring. It's a fountain that's just southwest of Jerusalem. And Jerusalem was the capital of Judea. It was the central place of Judea. And it's pretty awesome is that it was actually the only freshwater source in the area. And so what was designed is it actually was like a conduit system where water would be pulled from this spring and brought into Jerusalem. And it was actually designed that way so that when the nation was under siege, the people within Jerusalem still had access to this water, this fresh water source. The people of Israel, or Judah rather, were continued to be nourished in times of trouble. And I just think the language here is so symbolic, but it's so powerful. Because it says that the waters of Shiloah, that they flow softly. They're gentle. And what it speaks to me of is the character of God. It speaks absolutely to God's provision for the Jews, his people, and how God would protect them and provide for them even in times of trouble. But it speaks so much to his character, his care. David said that it was the Lord's gentleness that had made him great. It says later on in Isaiah, It says that in quietness will be your strength. Turn with me real quick, Psalm 23. We all know this one. Verse 1, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters." Still waters, it's the quiet waters, the calm waters. "He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." And he goes on to say that "surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And it's awesome that David was able to say, "I shall not want," that I have all that I need because the Lord is my shepherd. "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear." Why? Because God is with me. And that was the encouragement in Isaiah 7 and 8, that even through all of this trouble that will come upon the house of Judah, the encouragement is time and time again that God is with them, even through all of that. And Josh taught on last week how Ahaz even getting encouragement from the Lord is amazing, because we all know of his lifestyle, his failings, how he forsook the Lord. But God was with him. God was with Judah, the house of Judah. And see, tonight, the reality is, right, as I've meditated on that, the waters of Shiloh, I've just been able to receive so much joy from that. You ever meditate on something and the Lord's speaking to you about it and you might not even be able to articulate it, but you know it's from the Lord because his presence is with you on it? Like, man, the waters of Shiloh were meant for the people of God. The gentle streams. And David understood that, man, I have all that I need in the Lord. Just because of the fact that he's with me, I have all that I need. Tonight, you have all that you need. Tonight, you have all that you need. God supplies all of our needs in accordance with what? His riches and his glory in Christ Jesus. You have all that you need. We are not lacking anything. God has given us all that we need for right now, where he sovereignly sees us. But you know what's crazy? Even when you have all that you need, it sometimes don't seem like it's enough, does it? And I think the Lord would just have us, have me, to just pause and remember his goodness, you know, afresh tonight. Like, because we can feel like we need all this other stuff, you know? And one thing the Lord was sharing with me was like, you take what you have, what I've given you, and you mix that with faith, and there comes power. You think about some of these stories of God's people. I thought about Gideon and his army. They had a trumpet, a torch, and some pitchers, right? And they had, the Lord shaved them down to 300 guys. But they had all that they need. They had all they needed to accomplish what God had called them to. by faith. And then God showed up in a powerful way. And just like the house of Judah, man, it's so easy for myself, us, to forget that. And see, that's what Judah did. They forgot that this stream, this Spirit of the Lord, God had all that they needed. I mean, he brought them out of the land of Egypt. He kept them alive in the wilderness. He brought Joshua and the people that remained into the land. He was faithful all the way to this point. But they lost sight of that. And so it says in the end of verse 6 that they refused the waters of Shiloah and rejoiced in Rezin and in Remaliah's son. See, what actually began to happen is there was some in the house of Judah that secretly were locking arms with the northern kingdom of Israel. And so the Lord says, behold, verse 7, the Lord brings up over them the waters of the river, referencing the Euphrates, which runs through Assyria, strong and mighty, the king of Assyria and all his glory. He will go up over all his channels and go over all his banks. He will pass through Judah. He will overflow and pass over. He will reach up to the neck, and the stretching out of his wings will fill the breadth of your land. And then, O Emmanuel. Seemingly out of place, but what's amazing is God's faithfulness. Right there in verse 8 where it says, he will reach up to the neck. You see, it was God's people. And even though Judah, through this attack from Assyria, many of them would be overthrown. And even though God rightly could have judged them completely, there still was a remnant that would be saved. There still was a remnant that would be there. Why is that? Because God was committed to the house of Judah, was he not? Jesus, through the line of David, through the tribe of Judah, and how God's faithfulness to his promise over years and years and years, continuing to be faithful to what he said, brings forth his son, the true Emmanuel, the true God that is with us, the bread from heaven. God brings forth his son, and through that, the redemption of all who would believe. And so what's amazing is God's mercy and his faithfulness to us and his promises, man. He's faithful to his promises. And we can latch on to that tonight, that the Lord is faithful to all that he's promised us to. And then verse 9 and 10, it's almost like a victory chant. So it changes even again. It says, be shattered, O you peoples, and be broken into pieces. Give ear, all you from far countries. Gird yourselves, but be broken in pieces. Gird yourselves, but be broken in pieces. Take counsel together, but it will come to nothing. Speak the word, but it will not stand, for God is with us. In essence, arm yourself for battle. Join forces. Consider counsel together. But God is with us. And so he will preserve us. He will protect us. He will see us through this time of trouble. Verse 11, For the Lord spoke thus to me with a strong hand and instructed me that I should not walk in the way of this people, saying, do not say a conspiracy concerning all that this people call a conspiracy, nor be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. The Lord of hosts, him you shall hallow. Let him be your fear. Let him be your dread. He will be as a sanctuary, but a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense to both the house of Israel, as a trap and a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And many among them shall stumble, they shall fall and be broken, be snared and taken away. And so the encouragement there is for those in the land of Judah. The encouragement is to believe and trust in the Lord, because this time that is coming upon them is very real. It's promised. It's going to be a challenging time. But to take heart and believe that God is truly with them, and God will bring them through. And the sad reality is, in this day, here, and even in our day, is that the Lord is a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense to many because of unbelief. See, those that rejected the Lord, rejected God in this time, were destroyed, were taken away. But those that would continue to endure in faith, God would see them through, and a remnant shall be saved. Turn with me to Psalm 91. I just want to read it. Because trusting in the Lord, it is such a foundational thing. But it is in the time of trouble where that's really tested. And there's so much promise laced in Psalm 91 about the man who trusts in the Lord. It's amazing. He says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I will trust. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. Man, the word of the Lord, what a shield it is, man. What an anchor it is in times of trouble. Made me think of Psalm 119, where he says, remember your word to your servant, for it has given me great hope. Remember your word, Lord, because your word was the thing that brought me hope. And the fact that Damascus and Israel and Syria would be wiped away by the Assyrians, that was bringing hope to Judah. And they were to bind up that testimony, to latch on to that truth of God's word. And what that was doing was shielding them from fear, shielding them from doubt. We have to have the word of God. We have to have his truth. We have to cling to it. In times of trouble, that's all we got. Is that not all you got in your time of trouble? That's the only thing that's enabling you to stand in your time of trouble. The grace of God that comes by his word. So he says his truth, it'll be a shield for you. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. And imagine these next verses at this time in Judah. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, because you've made him your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you, to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. And because he set his love upon me, the Lord says, I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he's known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in the time of trouble and will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Man, the promises of trusting in the Lord. And my fear is, as I've looked through this, is that you're in trouble tonight and you're not trusting in the Lord. And so all of these promises that come from the Lord, they're not upon your life right now. And so you don't have that same hope. You don't have that same assurance at this time. You're in a way like the people of Judah were in this time. They thought they needed something more. Yeah, I got it, you know. I got it. You told Joshua that the Lord will be with us. The Lord will be with me. I've got that. I understand that. But right now, what I'm seeing, the battle I'm in, I need something else. And that's what Judah was doing. They were afraid. And so they began to compromise and lock arms. And the Lord would just reassure you tonight of who he is. You know, his care over you is immense. And it's most available, it seems, in times of trouble, is it not? But if you don't come to the Lord, if you don't trust in the Lord, if you're not making him the place in which you rest, you don't have that hope. We may be able to like say it to each other, you know what I'm saying? Like we can say it, but is it in there? Are we truly able to say, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear, for the Lord is with me, and because he's with me, I shall not want. I have all that I need just by the simple fact that God is with me. So back to Isaiah chapter 8, verse 16. So Isaiah says, he says, bind up the testimony, seal the word among my disciples, and I will wait on the Lord who hides his face from the house of Jacob, and I will hope in him. And then he says, here I am in the children whom the Lord has given me. Now remember these two sons, one of them's name was translated, a remnant shall be saved. The other one's name was translated, swift as the booty, speedy as the prey. In essence, the spoil of the wicked is coming soon. Those two children that the Lord gave them, we are for signs and wonders in Israel for the Lord of hosts who dwells in Mount Zion. They were to speak to the people God's promise in this time. Verse 19, and when they say to you, seek those who are mediums and wizards, who whisper and mutter, should not a people seek their God? Should they seek the dead on behalf of the living? To the law and to the testimony, if they do not speak according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. They will pass through it hard-pressed and hungry, and it shall happen when they are hungry that they will be enraged and curse their king and their God and look upward. Then they will look to the earth and see trouble and darkness, gloom of anguish, and they will be driven into darkness. So in that time of trouble, man, should not a people seek their God? And what ministered to me, there's two things as Mary and June come up. What ministered to me most in this passage was examining my own life, but also concern. Because where he says in verse 19, should they seek the dead on behalf of the living? And these mediums and wizards and those who whisper and mutter, they're dead. There's no life in those things. And I begin to think about the body of Christ, the church at large, and there's so many things that have infiltrated the church that are dead. And that in your time of trouble, you'll even run after. Like one of them was like Christian psychology, right? Like I don't even know how those two words even go together. You know what I'm saying? I don't even know much about psychology, but I know that Jesus says, come unto me, and I will give you rest for your soul. But we've hijacked those, you know what I'm saying? And so people just running towards these things. Programs, Alcoholics Anonymous, all these different things. But they're dead. And so someone here tonight, someone on video, I know you need to hear that. Because your heart is troubled, your soul is troubled tonight. And the thing that you're running to solve that has no life in it. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And in your time of trouble, you should seek your God. You should turn back afresh to your God. You know, Jeremiah chapter 2, it says that they've committed two evils. The first one was the fact that they had forsaken God. And the second one was not only that they had forsaken God, but they had actually begun to build other cisterns. And those cisterns of water, the reality is they couldn't hold water. And that's what it is for us when we run after things of the world and we desire to have healing and comfort and all those things in the way that the world provides. That's exactly what Judah was doing in this time, many of them. Yeah, we have the waters of Shiloah. But man, this over here, man, the Euphrates, the way of the world is so much, I mean, it's, look at it, man. But that very thing they were after had no healing in it, had no power in it. And so, if that's you tonight, the Lord would just remind you that He is the fountain of living water. And are you burdened? Are you weary? Just come unto the Lord, man. He's so good. He's so faithful. It doesn't matter how far we feel like we've wandered away. He's good. Come to Him. Times of refreshing will come from the Lord. I promise you that. Healing will come in your life. Things that you've been burdened by for years, that you run to other places to get healing, will be healed by the Lord. And the other thing was the very fact that the judgment that God would place on Judah through Assyria, it only reached their neck. It did not consume them. And it got me to thinking of God's promises to us, because that's why it didn't consume them. They had every right to be consumed, but God in His mercy allowed it just up here because of His promises, because of His word. And man, as the church of God, the body of Christ, we have so much promise, man. We have so much promise. He's faithful to complete the work He's begun into us unto the day of Christ. The day that Christ comes, we will be here. We will be with the Lord. We're more than conquerors, man. We're more than conquerors. And I know we can feel defeated in the time of trouble. Feel like the Lord's not even with us anymore. But God's promise is that He will always be with us. And so that encouragement just to wash over you tonight, if that's you, if you're in trouble and you're hanging on to the Lord, keep hanging on. He's faithful. Lord, we just give You praise for Your word. And I do thank You, Lord, just as the waters of Shiloh, Lord, that You are all that we need. I thank You, God, for Your gentleness. I thank You for Your compassion for us, Lord. Thank You, Lord, that You're ever-present help in time of trouble, Lord. And I just pray for the troubled heart tonight, God, that You would minister to them afresh by Your Spirit. Draw them back, Lord, just into a nearness with You, Lord. And we thank You, Lord, for Your promises. We thank You for the assurance of heaven. We thank You for the faithfulness of Your Son. God, that nothing can remove us from His hand. Thank You, Lord, that You've went and prepared a place for us, Lord, and You've assured us, God, that You're going to come back and bring us there with You, Lord. And so we believe that tonight, Lord. Help us, Lord, not to live with hearts that are troubled, Lord, but hearts that are stayed upon You, Lord, minds that are stayed upon You, Lord, in all things. And through that, Lord, You would just flood us with perfect peace. Peace, God, that surpasses all understanding, Lord. As we worship, Lord, I just pray You'd receive it. And Lord, that You would minister it to us by Your Spirit. We need it so desperately, God. If we don't get a hold of You in this time, Lord, it's vain. Yes. We need your spirit, God, and we call upon you.
Amen.
In Jesus' name, amen.